My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
However, the question is, are they being used? And you asked me, do I mind being used? And if we're being, well, how much is Pittsburgh giving up? If Pittsburgh jumps back into the fray.
The price is getting driven up.
Okay, so if they give up a huge price and the quarterback throws 3 yards behind him,
yeah.
Hey, you can run all the routes you want, but if he ain't making a damn bit of difference, who cares? Like, we had Josh Gordon and we still only won 4 games 1 year.
True.
Who's the greatest talent? Talent, not player overall. Talent, the greatest talent I've ever seen. And there's plenty of people who know more about football than I do who agree with me about that. When it comes to overall talent, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody better. I don't think I ever have. And they won 4 games that year. So you can have Brandon Ayuk all you want, even though that's going to open up Deontay Johnson and a couple other guys. So yeah, it would run up the price. And as long as it were to run up the price, I would just have to deal with it and move on, and we'd have to play good defense. But with the Browns, if you were able to bring this guy in, it would have a cause for concern in the back of my head. Would I poo-poo all over it on the air? You guys know me. It's Brandon Ayuk. I know he's a good wide receiver. I cannot believe that we have a chance at him. I really am surprised. Everything in my bones with common sense told me this thing did not have any chance of really working. I wouldn't have been, if I were San Francisco, I wouldn't be really interested. I still don't know. Like, there's plenty of people saying, well, you see, it makes sense. They need cap relief. I go, wouldn't we need cap relief? Like, he wants to be the highest paid receiver in the NFL. We're not going to lowball Brandon Ayuk. But apparently, there's been some deals that have been started to work out, or offers that have been started to work out, and it comes down to essentially courtesy of Schefter and everybody, us and the New England Patriots,
Kenny, what I think is very interesting is, I know we've been debating and having conversations, and obviously 49ers fans have been talking about this, trying to figure out if there's a way they could keep him. He wanted to get paid at least $25 million, and the 49ers balked at that. It got kind of ugly. It's become a distraction to the point where that's all they're really talking about in San Francisco, not the team that was very close last year to winning the Super Bowl. So it tells you how big of a storyline this is. But that today, Adam Schefter made it sound like he's going to get traded. It's going to be, you know, one of these teams, and the teams that are mentioned right now are the Browns, the Patriots, the Commanders were mentioned, and the Steelers were mentioned. So that is a very, very juicy story for this time in the football season.
Yeah, it is. If you brought him in, it's going to take a minute to get him acclimated to the offense. I don't think the offense with Amari Cooper, they said, well, Amari Cooper wouldn't fit in our offense. You told me 49er fans are saying that online. If 49er fans don't think it fits into this offense, well, what offense has Amari Cooper been in? Because a lot of people are trying to have always said that over the last 4 years, Kevin Stefanski's offense is very similar to Kyle Shanahan's offense. And Amari Cooper's fit into our offense just fine here over the last couple of years. So that doesn't wash for me. I would think that a lot of 49ers fans, if they're going to give up Brandon Ayuk, I think that they wouldn't want just Amari Cooper in return. So if you were to bring in Amari Cooper, I think you're giving up Brandon Ayuk. If we were 49ers fans, we'd be upset about that. But I have no problem being used. If they do get him, my thought would be great, but also I would have my concerns in the back of my head. The concerns in the back of my head would be, how much more do we have to give Deshaun Watson to make this thing work? How concerned are they? How concerned are they even with their own jobs?
Think about this. Think about where we're at right now with the Watson question. That the calls we have gotten today, and this is not just an insignificant amount, are asking that question. How much more does Watson need? As opposed to, hey, we're getting him an unbelievable weapon, a great route runner, an elite route runner, who also is an incredible blocker, which would be, you'd think, pretty vital in the Stefanski offense.
Did I say Deontay Johnson? I'm sorry. George Pickens. Jesus, I misspoke. Damn it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But that's what I mean. That
George Pickens.
Instead of talking about what an amazing talent we're getting, people are like, how much more talent does he need?
I mean, sorry, I think Mitch, thanks for correcting.
I think every quarterback would want more talent. I think every quarterback would want as much talent as humanly possible. And we know Amari Cooper, we all knew this, guys. If you're paying close attention, I don't even think you had to be paying close attention. You know he's not going to be here next year anyway. The writing's on the wall for them moving on anyway.
216-474-0092. Do you want Brandon Ayuk? At what price would it be? A lot of people have brought up other names. I know Jack Duffin, good cap guy online. I think OBR, correct? Want to make sure I get that specifically right. He brought up about eating a contract, meaning that they would have to whittle theirs down to basically the same type of cap hit that the Browns have taken with Amari Cooper. Then you would be able to make that move. Also, there's been other names involved.
He floated Cooper, Conklin, and a third.
Yes. Even though Keith got mad at me for mentioning this name, because we talked about it over the last couple of days, Wyatt Teller has been bandied about throughout online about whether or not he would be brought in. Now, if it messes with the... Conklin's a different story, because I can't count on Conklin to be healthy anyway. And that's, again, why would San Francisco want him back if he can't be counted on to be healthy anyway? The second part of it is, if it came down to Teller or anybody else on the offensive line, and hell, even Conklin to some degree, even though I know I got DeJuan Jones right by him, right behind him, I can find a bunch of different reasons, but I know that this guy's good. If it comes down to the offensive line, I don't know much about the offensive line coach and how good he's going to do this year with this team. The only evidence I have is empirical, and that would be on the field, and we don't have time for that, okay? So I have to take a risk there. I'd have to take that risk. The other part of it with Wyatt Teller, yes, I like Wyatt. I think Wyatt's a good guy. I know that eventually we'll have to split from Wyatt Teller. I know we can't sit there and pay two guards all the time. That's all true. But I want to make sure that Deshaun Watson is protected. I have to give him every opportunity to be able to have time to make passes, to get through the offense, and to make that work. So I need to protect him with my good offensive line. So a lot of stuff about the O-line is a non-starter to me. Zach Zinter's a rookie. He's coming off an injury. Behind him, he would have Michael Dunn. You might have a little bit of insurance there, but do I want to throw a rookie in the fray to protect who? To protect Deshaun Watson. Because I can have all the wide receivers in the world, but if I have a problem there, it's going to be a big problem for everybody else. 216-474-0092. Wayne in Cleveland, you're first up on the Fan.
Yeah. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing well, Wayne. Go right on ahead.
Yeah, I just want to comment on Brandon. Whatever his name is.
Brandon Ayuk. He had 1,300 yards last year.
Yeah. So if the Browns are sitting up here calling themselves participating, possibly getting this trade, they better hope this stuff pan out between, Amari going there or him coming here. Because I don't see him really, being a leader for the other wide receivers. I think he'd come in just for himself, But at the same time, also, they better hope if they do plan a trade, they better hope it go through, because I can see Amari not playing up to his potential this year, man.
Why? Sometimes. Why would he soak down his own numbers just because he's upset?
I said, what if he feels he's going to get hurt, for a proposed contract with someone else for the next couple of years. Cause you all just said, him in Cleveland.
So all that would do, Wayne, would confirm the suspicions by a lot of other teams. All that would do is drive down his price. He's not going to get any younger. He's going to get older. He'll be 31 next offseason. So if he puts up fewer numbers, then they're going to say we're going to get diminishing returns out of the man.
All right. Well, just perhaps if you don't want to play here next year, then I mean, you got to look for somebody else in free agency or draft, you know, good wide receiver. But we need his leadership, that veteranship, which I don't think Brandon can offer right now. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
it's just a thought.
He wouldn't offer as much as Amari. And thank you very much for the call, Wayne. He wouldn't offer as much as Amari. I don't see Amari being a problem. I see Amari, who's been traded twice, as Owen highlighted earlier. I think Amari would understand the business of it. And he's not getting traded to a terrible franchise. San Francisco has a look at it.
Leaving Amari out of it for a minute, I know Brandon Ayuk's not as old as Amari. Brandon Ayuk was in the Super Bowl last year. He brings that air of, hey, this is what it takes to get here. He also, according to ESPN analytics, is the number one receiver in the league. Amari Cooper on that same metric was 44th. Now he's nowhere near 44th.
That surprised me.
That's as pass catchers. That includes some tight ends as well.
Is that what we're saying? Are we also adding in the other quarterbacks? Are we doing that with the metrics? Because the best thing about like DVOA, they always say DVOA don't watch the games.
This is just strictly on catches and route running and things like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then that would make a little bit more sense why he's 44th on that list. Yeah,
I mean, it was pretty clear that he'd never even heard of Brandon Ayuk. If you don't even know how to the guy's last name, Brandon Ayuk's been pretty relevant for the last two seasons for sure.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now.
He's also on a Super Bowl team.
Let's get to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome in Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior NFL writer. He joins us this morning at Will Brinson on Twitter. Will, if the Browns get Brandon Ayuk, does that mean that they are a playoff team again?
if they get Brandon Ayuk, and if you believe what's being bandied about, they've got to give up Amari Cooper to do it. And so I think at that point you'd be talking about not so much of I think Brandon Ayuk is great. He's a fantastic run blocker, younger wide receiver. That to me reeks of something that would be less along the lines of Cleveland trying to win right now. Like, the teams trading for Ayuk are not, I don't think it's like, oh, let's go all in, based on what we've heard from, these reports out there of what it would require to swap with the 49ers. For the Patriots, if you're the Browns and you're in the same boat as the Patriots, I don't know, man. Maybe, it seems like you're trading for something, a future asset. That's what it implies more than anything to me, that Andrew Berry sees a young wide receiver who wants out of his current situation. You could then flip Amari Cooper for Brandon Ayuk, and then you would be able to pay him and have a young wide receiver in-house who's 26, again, a great run blocker, really, really, ascending player. And that would be the goal to me, is you're acquiring an ascending player who's going to help you, immediately, of course, but also down the road. But, do you think Brandon Ayuk and Amari Cooper are going to have, like, wildly disparate productive seasons? Probably not, but you would definitely take Ayuk for the long haul over Amari.
So then why does Cleveland keep getting mentioned? Is there a possibility that they are being played? They are – Lima has used this term before. I mean, is there a chance that they're being used with somebody else?
No, I think they're interested. I just don't think that this is a – I think when you hear, I mean, you have to trust like what we're hearing about what's going on. I mean, there's two teams that are really involved, right? The Steelers have pulled out of this because the 49ers wanted players back. You have to assume it was I doubt it was like Calvin Austin, right? It was probably like George Pickens or one of their defensive players, and they didn't want to do that. The 49ers want players who can help them right now. They want draft picks, of course, because draft picks are great. But this is a 49ers team that's all in on 2024. And that's why if they can't find something that they're willing to – now, there's some reports out there that say they've approved what the Patriots and the Browns have offered them packages that the 49ers have approved. And then it comes down to, will those teams meet the contractual demands that Brandon Ayuk has to approve? And so you have these two different layers of approval that have to go on, right? The 49ers have to get something commensurate back with what they believe Ayuk's worth, but then Ayuk also and his camp also have to approve a contract that he believes he's worth. And if you're Brandon Ayuk, like if you're the Browns or the Patriots, you know, you're saying to Ayuk's camp, like, look, we want to pay you and we'll pay you a lot of money, but we're not paying you more than Tyreek Hill. You know, we're not giving you, we're not making you the highest paid, we're not, you know, like we're not making you the highest paid wide receiver in football or anything like that. And because, you know, you very good wide receiver, but not, you know, like not an elite producer yet. And then at the same time, you're giving up assets. And so if you're Ayuk, I almost think you're better off saying, I'm going to stay here in San Francisco, play on my fifth year option, have a monster year, maybe go win a Super Bowl. And then, you know, the 49ers probably tag him, but you can do a tag and trade, and you have more leverage at that point. So I think it a lot boils down to what are these teams willing to give Ayuk in a contract? And, you know, I don't know that teams are going to want to get to where he's at. That's really the sticking point here.
Will Brinson with us right now. If the Browns are able to pull this off and then sign him to a deal that is probably going to be north of $30 million a year with all the other commitments they have, they're the most expensive roster in the NFL this year. Next year, right now, estimated cap space are $30 million over. Does it forever say that the cap truly is, as Ken Carman, my colleague here, always says, is a myth?
And by the way, you know, I mean, like Justin Jefferson, obviously, you know, like A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Jamie, like all these guys, $30 million guys. You know, Ayuk's been great. I just don't know that you're going to say you absolutely deserve to be at $35 million a year because, like, Justin Jefferson's a freak. Although, anyway, but yeah, like, the cap is a myth in the same sense that, you know, as long as nothing comes along like a global pandemic to, you know, force the NFL's like, oh, no, we don't have any money. Oh, no, let's shrink the cap. Like, but, all right, guys, so you got $14 billion in your coffers. You know, like, that, like it, when that happens, you can run into it if you're up against the cap and you're playing sort of, you know, kick the can down the road. But the reason the cap is a complete myth in the last 5 to 10 years is that the explosion of various revenue deals has caused the cap to spike enormously. Now, I mean, 2011 or 2010, the cap was a huge deal. You saw guys get like big name guys get cut and hit free agency because teams had to get under the salary cap. You also have this, you know, really just proliferation of, you know, it extends from the analytics side of things, right? Where you have a lot of people in front offices. Obviously, you always have had cap guys, but now you have people who are, you know, just they, you know, it's like the like Wall Street bankers. I mean, they know in the way the agents work this stuff too. There's so many ridiculous loopholes to get guys in and under. And one of the things that's changed completely when it comes to the cap is most players, as I understand it, you know, most players in these contracts, their agents agree ahead of time to. Like allow teams don't have to go to a player and say, we want to restructure your contract and give you some cash now, because everybody's like, sure, we'll take cash now. There are these automatic like flyers in there where teams can restructure contracts and free up cap space. So these teams just build out better.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
There's way more cap space, and yeah, I mean the cap is a myth until it flattens out. And with, you know, just like the NFL just opened up the gambling revenue fire hose, so that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Will Brinson joining us here on the show. It is being talked about on WEEI in Boston that New England would be sending a first round pick from 2025.
That's crazy.
Is that nuts?
Yes, it's nuts. Just drafted in the top five. Look, nobody loves Jacoby Brissett, NC State legend, Cleveland Browns legend, more than me. I think he's a great. He beats out the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Will. That would be for Drake May. Just like you were about to say. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I'm saying, yeah, you know, I want the NC State guy to beat out Drake May. Just, you know, for bragging rights around here in North Carolina. But I mean, more like, you're getting Brandon Ayuk for Drake May. The issue is you give him a first round pick for a wide receiver who you didn't have to pay, who's a 26-year-old wide receiver who you didn't have to pay a ton of money. I mean, that pick could easily be fourth overall, which is where Marvin Harrison Jr. was drafted. And so, like, man, if trading a first round pick, and the issue with the Patriots is, you know, if the Browns can get back Amari Cooper, who you feel very confident is going to be, you know, a starting wide receiver for the 49ers, right? He'd start outside in 90 spot. The Patriots really can only get back Kendrick Bourne, or that's who the 49ers want. So I think the 49ers might be gearing in on the idea of, hey, let's get Kendrick Bourne as one of these picks from the Patriots, because this first-round pick from the Patriots could be an absolute – like game changer for a team in San Francisco that has so many guys that have to pay. Brock Purdy's going to get paid next offseason. You know, Deebo Samuel's been paid. You have Kittle, you have all these defenders. And so, like, as a result, if you get another, like, stud on a rookie contract who you would be drafting high but didn't actually have to skate to draft high, that's a steal. The Patriots, that would be a massive mistake, in my opinion, by the Patriots to give up a first-round pick, given how good that division is. Given how bad that offensive line is, they've got a rookie quarterback who's got highs, but he's got some lows. And I don't think – Brandon Ayuk isn't coming in and making that team like a 8-win team, right?
I had said one final question before we talk about the Browns in the playoffs, Will. We're joined by Will Brinson, CBS Sports. I said this a few weeks ago, and then I talked to the guys on the show about how lousy of a job I feel like we do in the NFL breaking down certain position groups. And I think wide receiver is one of them. I think everybody just looks at fantasy numbers. They look at yards, targets, touchdowns, maybe, you know, yards per catch. And that's it. I feel like in the NBA, we do a lot better job talking strengths and weaknesses. Everybody in the NFL is a great route runner. Like, I hear that about 80% of the wide receivers in the NFL. And then we look at drops as if that's a great number. It seems so limited. Do we have a better way of talking about these guys and distinguishing one from the other and how they are going to work in a certain offense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, well, one, analyzing the NFL is, from that perspective, is a lot more difficult than analyzing basketball. Basketball is five guys on the court at once. You have all kinds of insane analytical, in the NFL, there's tons of analytical stuff, but like the ways that you can sort of divvy up like the plus minus, who's on the court, who succeeds, like who does better when this is happening. The NBA is behind baseball, but I mean, it's above football in terms of being able to analyze that. Football is just more difficult because of all the different pieces and parts that you have flowing into each specific play, even, right? Where it's like, oh, like that guy dropped it, but what, you know, was the ball thrown high? Did the ball come out quick? Did the receiver run the wrong? It's not always easy to pinpoint exactly what it is. And so I think, you know, even when you try to like drill it down, you have like sites like PFF. You know, you're talking about, I mean, at the end of the day, like whoever's grading something on that site, that's not objective. It is inherently subjective. And so like you sort of lose some of that as well. So yeah, I mean, there's probably a better way of doing it. You know, I don't think that like yards per route run is a nice little like add on. I think we've gotten better about doing it. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's not an easy thing to describe. I'm not sure if I answered the question.
Put us back in the playoffs, Will. Why did you have us falling out?
Okay, so the Browns made the playoffs last year. Obviously, I can't remember if I came on after you guys got in or not, but I mean, people would be like, ha, 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 you loser, you were so dead wrong about this team. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But, you know, like, there weren't a Browns fan on planet Earth, and I don't think you guys would have – if I told you guys, hey, Joe Flacco is starting the final, like, six games of the season, and he's the fifth quarterback you're starting this year, are you in the playoffs? Everybody's like, hell no. That would require a lot of really good coaching, which it did. Great shout out to Kevin Stefanski. He was awesome, deserved the AP Coach of the Year award. It would require a lot of luck. The Browns won a lot of one-score games and outperformed their point differential. And it would sort of require, you know, like a lot of bounces going their way. And that happened. And that's awesome. And it was a fun story until CJ Stroud shot it into the moon. I think when you look at those things and you talk about the regression to the mean statistically on those underlying statistical stuff, one score games, you tend to regress to the mean. You can't go 8-2 in one score games. Like, you're not just going to be this clutch miracle team every year. It just doesn't work. If you outperform your expected win total based on your point differential, we've seen over the years that you will regress some to that, back to that. I think you can add in, you know, people are going to be down on Baltimore. I'm not really worried about a lot of the changes. I think Baltimore's still a really good football team. The Bengals should be a lot better if Joe Burrow is healthy. I have the Steelers as worse than the Browns in my full projections for the season, which are coming out this week and probably should have been out yesterday, but I had to travel. And then I think, you know, biggest loss, I think, actually, is Bill Kelly. Like, I don't think that's being talked about nearly enough. I mean, this is a guy who is maybe the best offensive line coach in the history of football. He's definitely up there. He's one of the top ones ever. And when he comes somewhere and he runs that offensive line, you tend to see a really big improvement in just the overall production, but especially the run blocking and the run game. And then when he leaves, you see a drop-off. And so I think you might see a drop-off. Nick Chubb is one of my favorite players ever. He's coming back from a gruesome injury. We don't know when he'll be back. And you have to be the biggest rose-eyed, rose-colored glasses wearer of all time to just pound the table and say that, damn, whatever's happened the last few years, Deshaun Watson's going to be awesome this season. Maybe he is. You don't lose like a skill set like that. So like, it's possible you can get back there, but the further and further we get away from it, the less likely it is that we see that same guy we saw in Houston. And so I just think there's a lot up in the air with Cleveland. And should Browns fans be mad at me for doubting them? And should they be confident in this team and thrilled about this team and have high expectations? Hell yeah, it's August. You know, optimism reigns supreme. But, mm-hmm. you know, if I've got to look at all 32 NFL teams and make a judgment on every single football game, win or loss, and then, you know, decide who's going to be in, who's going to be out, and look at the metrics and look at the personnel movements. You know, I think the Browns are a team that could finish somewhere between 7-10 and 9-8 and could miss the playoffs pretty easily in a deep AFC.
Will, thank you very much for the time. Find him on Twitter at Will Brinson. Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
Well, there's been vague teases all morning, so here we go. Mitch, please.
All right, guys, we talked a lot yesterday about the recent developments in the Michigan reported cheating scandal. Talked a lot about Jim Harbaugh yesterday, what that might mean for his NFL future. Yesterday, Harbaugh talked in his Chargers press conference and was asked a question about it.
Yeah, I do have a comment on that. Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. I have raised my family on that lesson. I have preached that lesson to the teams that I've coached. No one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize, and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Eddie Guerrero was a world champion using all three of those maxims, so I don't even want to hear it from Jim Harbaugh.
I was going to use Rafael Palmeiro, but that's a good one, too.
Second thing is that for a second I go, well, you never use plausible deniability in any of that. And I'm going, well, he did kind of circle back and use the whole plausible deniability. Is it true Connor Stallions was running the intern department?
I honestly didn't see that, but I knew that... I knew that there were plenty of shenanigans going on that I think have come to light certainly over the last...
Are you saying you didn't see that because you didn't see it? Or are you trying to save me from an embarrassment that I didn't read?
No.
Okay.
No.
I read that he was like in charge of the intern department at one point.
At which school? Because I saw him on so many different sidelines that I wasn't sure.
DeVry. ITT Tech.
I mean, this got really interesting because, like I told you, I didn't think anything would come of this. And now it seems like... First of all, the rest of the Big Ten is very, very irate over this. They did not think that just having Harbaugh suspended last year for those, three games, they didn't think that was nearly enough, especially when it came to Stallions getting on the field, other football games, using whatever methods to obtain field pass credentials. Like, all that stuff is very, very sneaky and something that you can imagine the other teams who are being told, don't cheat, don't cheat, don't cheat. Oh, but we're going to allow this, and then there are no real penalties involved after the fact. And now that Sherrone Moore has been guilty of, according to the notice of allegations, deleting tweets.
Has he been found guilty? I don't know. Guilty? Is it guilty?
According to the notice of allegations, they have him deleting texts. And then he was then forthright. They were able to recover the text. And while they're saying those texts were not anything nefarious, why did he delete them? He deleted them because
he probably freaked out.
He had a relationship with Connor Stallions that they weren't willing to admit.
When do they know that he deleted the texts?
On the day that Connor Stallions' news broke.
So clearly he freaked out, deleted the text, and maybe he shouldn't have deleted the text messages.
That's your head coach now.
That's your head coach now, but he wasn't your head coach then. Still doesn't absolve him from any sort of responsibility there. But if they didn't find anything, so he deleted some texts. If they didn't find anything, what can they really use against him?
But that's the whole thing. If you follow the NCAA and how they've operated over the years, they never are going to have concrete evidence. That how would you have concrete evidence? How could you ever prove that guys were talking when there aren't cameras and microphones? Like, if you were plotting to cheat in that way, you would not be texting, here's how we're going to cheat. What the NCAA does have, they'd have an assistant coach that was fired last year. Remember that. That's important. They have an assistant coach that was fired that admitted that they tried to get players to say certain things in front of NCAA investigators. They know they cheated. They know they've got these guys. The question is just how serious will they take it at this point? And you've got a whole bunch of schools in the NCAA who are not happy that Michigan administrators allowed this to happen.
Right now, I'm not sure they can. I said that last offseason, and we know how weird the season got where they win a national championship and Jim Harbaugh wasn't even on the sidelines for half the games. So I thought that it might take till after this coming season. Who knows what they might do in real time, the NCAA does. Because the NCAA has proven they do not care about the season going on without doing it.
Michigan, this isn't a one-off. they are now in the category of all-time chronic rule breakers. Even if some of those rules were not a big deal, like a hamburger or certain benefits, they did a lot of this in 2023 after the NCAA was already investigating them. So not only did they not, like, you would think, if even if it were like small level three violations, not a big deal, a few extracurriculars, a few extra benefits. Okay, no big deal. But once the NCAA is on your campus, most schools stop doing anything else. Not only did Michigan not stop, they took it to the next level.
They kept going. For Ohio State, one, I would say for Michigan, at least you won while doing all this. Because there's been plenty of schools that have been doing a lot of crazy stuff and haven't even come close. In fact, they were actually sub-500 teams because they were so desperate. The other thing is, for an Ohio State fan, for like a guy like you who had to hear it from Michigan people, it does have to be very satisfying. That cannot be lost for the regular fan. Whatever happens, happens. For the regular fan, it's got to be very satisfying because a guy like you has been hearing it from them your entire life. Well, we hold ourselves to a higher standard. You have your national champions, but we're better men. And clearly, there's things that aren't true about that.
I have never once said they didn't win that championship fair and square. I told you I didn't think sign stealing was that big of a deal, even though they took it to the next level. I will never let Ryan Day and Ohio State off the hook, and I give their players all the credit in the world and how they battled that adversity, even if it was self-administered. I give them all that credit. However, I do absolutely love that this is going to follow them and Harbaugh forever.
Two things.
You can't do the story of Michigan without also doing the story of Harbaugh getting suspended, him taking off the first chance he got, which has never happened. We've never seen anything like that.
Two things with what Will said about Brandon Ayuk. Is it Ayuk or Ayuk?
I say Ayuk.
Ayuk?
Yeah.
Because I say Ayuk.
Are we going to have to get to know that even better?
We might find out by the end of the day.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.